I am Mary Walter, being joined by Vince Colonnaise. Good morning.
Good morning, and it's here I should make this admission. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller as well, and a privileged guest host today. But I say that because we're joined now by the deputy editor of the Daily Caller, Scott Greer, whose new book is called No Campus for White Men. Does it sound interesting? Good, because we're about to talk to Scott about it.
Well, I just have a quick question. Since both you are here in studio, did you arrived in separate cars, and what is the chain of command now should something untoward happen to both of you? I mean, does the Daily Caller go down?
We put that in charge of the interns.
Okay. They're
very good.
All right.
We have some really intrepid 18-year-olds who are running our website right now.
Scott, my first question for you about your book, No Campus for White Men, which, by the way, according to this publicity description I'm reading, shines a bright light on the growing obsession with diversity, victimization, and identity politics on today's college campuses. Did you write it?
I actually did. I did not get our intrepid 18-year-old interns to help me write it.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. That was it.
Yeah, no factory of high schoolers wrote my book.
So the book explores something that everyone who's been paying attention at all to college campuses for the last few years has begun to sort of get glimpses of. Every so often you see a news story about free speech on campus not quite being so free, or some student being excoriated because he has views that are different from other people. What is, you know, what's the atmosphere like now on the average college campus across the United States?
I think the atmosphere is best summarized by what we saw happen to Heather McDonald, who's a conservative scholar with the Manhattan Institute, I believe. And she was speaking at Claremont McKenna College. She was shouted down. She wasn't even allowed to speak. And we keep seeing this with, you know, Charles Murray, who is also a famous conservative scholar, who was, him and another professor were assaulted departing from Middlebury College last month. And then there was, of course, the riot that happened at UC Berkeley just because Milo Yiannopoulos decided to appear on campus. Really what's happening now, and it's gotten worse with the election of Donald Trump, more students are willing to commit violence or do whatever by any means necessary to shut down people that they disagree with. And they feel they have the moral justification to do this. Not because of, like, facts or reasoning. They don't give a reason why, you know, Charles Murray shouldn't speak on campus or Milo. They will just say, if this person speaks, my life is in danger. Like, mysterious violence is going to happen to me. Like, mysterious militiamen are just going to pop up on campus if Milo gives a talk. And they use this kind of amped up rhetoric that's very hysterical, that has no basis in reality, such as words can hurt you and commit violence against you. And they use this continually to shut down speech and not let conservative, libertarian, or just any points of view that criticize progressive dogma allow to be spoken on college campus without disturbances, without harassment, without threats of violence.
Now, how did we get here? This has really gotten out of hand in about the last 5 years. It's really, you just see a story every single day popping up. Did they just mysteriously become uber sensitive? How did we get here?
Well, it's not mysteriously. It's a slow rolling effect that's happened to higher education over the last 50 or so years. And it's gotten worse in the last 8 or so years because due to the Obama administration. The Obama administration did promote some of these causes, particularly with kind of rape culture hysteria. They did set new guidelines that told campuses that this is a real problem, and then they set a lower standard of evidence that students could bring these sexual assault allegations to there. And also Obama would also weigh in on racially sensitive matters, and what he ever did, such as, you know, the Harvard professor who was arrested, the Trayvon Martin case, you know, Ferguson, he always would come out on the side, it would seem, with the protesters. And at the same time, the protest movement Black Lives Matter started and gained the most steam on college campus. A lot of these activists who are shouting down speeches and, you know, calling for all these demands have some affiliation with the Black Lives Matter movement, or have some similarity in their demands and their actions. And so the development of that protest movement really found its best base on a college campus. And that's why we kind of see, I mean, college students are the most, like, fanatical devotees of any political cause that they find. Mm-hmm. And right now, with a lot of these protest movements on the left, their most ardent supporters are on a college campus, and thus they're the most dogmatic and most willing to engage with people that they disagree with and shut them down.
You mentioned that there are a lot of students now who equate disagreeing on an issue with feeling like they were physically violated. There's a new this story has been coming to light over the past couple of days. Mike Pence is scheduled, the vice president of the United States, scheduled to speak at Notre Dame, and students are saying that they feel, some students on campus at Notre Dame say that they feel, quote, unsafe to have someone who openly is offensive and also demeaning of my humanity and of my life and of my identity. Unsafe because he has a conflicting worldview?
Yeah, and this is the vice president of the United States. I mean, you step out in the, you know, just because he violates your humanity doesn't change the fact that he's the second most powerful man in the country. That no matter where you walk, he's still the vice president of the United States. I mean, you can't just hide in your own little bubble or make the whole country your safe space. You have to accept the fact that he's going to be on TV and speaking.
Yeah,
and
it's not like he's bringing United Airlines flight attendants with him. He's literally just going to give a commencement address, I think.
Yeah. Fortunately for those students, they don't have to deal with any United flight attendants if they disagree with them, you know. So none of them are going to walk away with any concussions. But, yeah, no, he's not going to do anything. This is a matter of decor. I mean, Notre Dame traditionally has invited the president of the United States to come, and due to the controversy with Donald Trump, that a lot of campuses basically want to make it appear that Trump doesn't exist and we're going to have a Trump-free campus, they brought Pence instead.
Yeah, I remember them inviting Barack Obama, and that was conservatives got outraged, but nobody said that they felt unsafe.
Well, that's because conservatives are racist. That's why they didn't want him on. You forgot that. I can't believe you forgot that. That's why they didn't want Barack Obama there.
I swear, I thought it had something to do with abortion, but I think you're right.
Yeah, it is 8:44. We have more coming up with Scott Greer. That is next. with us is Scott Greer. He is the Daily Caller deputy editor, and he is also the author of No Campus for White Men. And thank you so much for joining us, Scott. I have a question. Why do the colleges allow the destruction of property like we saw at Berkeley? Just total destruction of the campus and then all the ensuing bad publicity. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Missouri, you know, we're seeing Missouri. Their registration is plummeting to the point where they're closing dorms now. Why would they allow this?
Well, I think the easiest explanation is college administrators, for the most part, have a lack of spine. They really give in to whoever the loudest, most aggressive pressure group there is. And on a college campus, that's leftists. That's the people who are going to charge into their office if there's a speaker speaking on campus that they don't like. They're going to have to hear them whine and invade their office, and then they're going to call the administrator a racist and a white supremacist if they don't give their way. So the administrators just cave in. And a lot of the times when this destruction of property happens, even violence towards people, the leftists say, we have the moral high ground. We're doing this for a great cause. A week after the riot happened at Berkeley, the student paper published a half dozen columns praising the violence, saying that they were doing the right thing, that they were standing up against violence and hate speech that was going to, you know, harm countless number of students, that these brave black-masked rioters were doing an honorable thing. And it's pretty crazy for a school to praise such rampant criminality. But when they see this destruction of property, rioting, lack of regard for the First Amendment, they see them as it morally justified. So they cave in, and administrators are spineless and don't really have to deal with another pressure group.
If that's great until they don't have a student population over which to preside. Because if I had a child, I would not let my child look at Berkeley. Well, I wouldn't let them look at Berkeley, period. But if they were considering, I'd be like, oh, no, you're not going there.
Yeah. Well, they don't care about that. Missouri is not in a good place right now because they know why their enrollment's dropping, yet they still praise the action of the protesters. During orientation last year in 2016, they presented the protesters that essentially destroyed the school in November of 2015 as the same as civil rights heroes from the 1960s. So this is the type of craziness that we see, and I outline in No Campus for White Men.
Right, and so the civil rights movement was more about equal access to the conversation and to the privileges of being a fully, you know, integrated member of society, not about silencing diverse thought. It's sort of actually running completely against the narrative of what civil rights was about.
Yeah, absolutely, but they don't care about that. There's lots of cognitive dissonance and hypocrisy involved in all of this.
So what about conservative professors or a professor who doesn't have a liberal worldview? How are they treated on campuses?
Public enemy number one. They are harassed. I think it's not just professors. It's also conservative students. being a publicly known conservative or libertarian or just anti-political correctness, that's the worst thing you could be on a college campus.
That makes sense.
I was going to say they're treated like the white rhinos that they are. They're endangered species. Oh, they boy. Do not exist. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Scott. We appreciate you coming here to
the
be with us.
The author of No Campus for White Men. Go out and buy 10 copies right now.
I'm on my way. I'm leaving right now.